Hello, this is Denise Yon, and welcome to the Brand is Business Bites podcast. The Brand is Business Bites podcast gives you a taste of insights and information about brands, businesses, and the people who work on them. It's available on iTunes. For more stuff for your brain to chew on, please visit my website at deniseleeyon.com. My guest today, Jeff Kelly, is the founder and head of Sanook, the fun and funky sandal brand with a cult-like following among surfers, climbers, and active people around the world. Jeff is an avid surfer who has worked in the action sports world for most of his life, including heading up sales at Reef before he started Sanook in 1997. And Sanook, as you may know, is as well known for the unique materials in its footwear products as it is for its clever ads and the cool athletes it sponsors. So I've asked Jeff to share some of the ways he's built this extraordinary brand. Jeff, thanks so much for being here today and talking with me.
Hi, Denise. Thank you.
So Sanook has such a loyal, passionate following of customers. Why do you think that is?
I think probably because when we started, we did things that were very unique and different. And the customer that gravitated to the brand were the types that didn't want to look like everybody else. And, purchasing Sanooks, and especially the original stuff, green carpet, leopard, those types of things, were real conversation pieces. And people really enjoyed interacting with the types of products that we did and the reaction that they got from people on the street. And, we probably grew more by word of mouth just from the products that we did than we did by the advertising that we were doing.
So it really shows the power of having a very unique product.
Yes, yeah, it does. I mean, people want to look different, and in today's world, that's sometimes hard to do.
Right. Now, Sanook was acquired by Deckers Corporation a couple of years ago, and I really am curious to know, how that impacted Sanook, how that impacted your brand. Your company is known for having a pretty unique culture internally, and then, as you say, of all your customers and followers, and I'm just curious, how do you maintain that kind of unique culture when you're a part of a large organization like Deckers?
Well, I think for a lot of people that have been acquired by public companies, the public company comes in and changes the brand. But in the case of Deckers, they really get it. And all they do is footwear. They don't have a lot of other types of companies outside of footwear. And they knew when they acquired Sanook that they wanted to acquire something that was in the action sports area. And they knew that they didn't want to come in and try to tell us how to run the business. The CEO, Angel Martinez, really did understand that he needed to leave Sanook alone and just give us the tools that we need. We had sort of hit a wall where we were at with the structure that we had in place, with our ability to grow to the next level, and I mean to take Sanook and take the voice that we had here and make it a global voice. And because Deckers owns UGG boots and they own Teva sandals and some other brands that have done really good internationally, they really had an infrastructure in place that they could bring to us to help us get Sanook to those levels. And so, they sit down with us. They don't dictate to us and work with us to give us the tools that we need. And it's actually been a really, really good situation for our brand.
Mm-hmm. And so it sounds like you've stayed very involved in the business even post-acquisition, which it sounds like that's a real key part of the process.
Oh, yeah, I have. And for me, it's only become more fun because having their involvement, we've been able to hire the additional people that we need so that we don't have our people spread so thin, and it's allowed me to focus more on just the creative side of things. And we've hired a lot of very, very talented people to help us grow to the levels that we're expecting to grow in the next few years.
Cool. Now, you recently opened a brand new store in Santa Monica. I think that might have been your first ever company-owned store. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. It's it's our own company store. We have partner stores with existing retailers,
uh-huh.
and then some of our distributors have opened retail stores outside the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
but this is the first one that we've actually opened on our own, and it's been good for us because, you know, we can put everything that we do into one of the stores, where a normal retail situation, you're only going to get, you know, a handful of your SKUs,
right.
and this really helps us see what trends there are and what things that maybe other stores aren't stocking that we can help our reps get into the additional stores. So it's a really good window. Plus, you know, it's a way to really allow the consumer to see what the true voice of the brand is without all the clutter of all the other brands surrounding it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So talk to me a little bit about that, you know, bringing out that true brand voice in the store. Like, how did you go about designing the store? And if you could explain to my listeners a little bit about what's in the store that's really unique.
Just a lot of positive sayings. when you walk in, there's a wall of clutter because I started Sanuk out of my garage. So there's a lot of things that you might see in my garage on the front wall right as you come in. A lot of funny things like a big monkey that's in the middle of the store and someone wrote "Spank the monkey on the butt."
Okay.
Just a wall thing that you would expect from our brand. But, you know, hopefully when people leave, they've got a smile on their face and they've been entertained.
Right. Yeah, that's just the kind of random thing that you would expect from Sanuk, for sure. And it sounds like the store, so to your earlier point, is a way of you kind of getting other product, new product out there that actually will then help, you know, kind of in your other channels to show that there is demand for a certain kind of product or show that there's a certain trend that's coming up. Am I understanding that correct?
Yeah, and in addition to that, there are retailers that don't have a large Sanuk presence in their store that can come in and see how it is that, you know, if we were to have more space, we could create a space for them that sort of has the same image and vibe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good all the way around as a showcase for the other retailers and, you know, as a way for consumers to sort of get the idea of, you know, what Sanuk is all about. And the Third Street Promenade is such a great spot because you have, you know, not just a local crowd, but you have such a high turnover of tourists from all over the world. So you really get to interact with all kinds of different people over there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I also wanted to ask you about sponsorships. Sanuk sponsors a range of pro athletes, including some well-known names like Jeremy Jones and Matt Miola. And I'm curious as to how do you select which athletes to sponsor, and maybe then, you know, how do you make those sponsorships beneficial for both you and them?
Well, initially when I started out, I didn't have a whole lot of money, so I was unable to go out and sponsor, you know, some of the best top surfers that were competing on the different tours.
Mm-hmm.
And our brand really wasn't about being competitive anyway. It was more about just, you know, relaxing and chilling and that sort of a vibe. So some of the first athletes that I chose to sponsor, like a Donovan Frankenreiter, who back in the day, he's now a very popular musician, mm-hmm. but was a professional surfer, was one of the first guys really to get paid to go surf on just travel trips without having to be on the tour. And I think most people identified with a guy like Donovan who, you know, got to go surf the best waves and didn't have to surf in a competitive atmosphere. So he was really sort of the flagship of our brand. And we've sort of followed that same trend with the athletes that we choose. We choose guys that are really going out and doing what they love, whether it be Jeremy or, you know, Matt Miola, for instance. But these are guys that aren't caught up in the competitive side of the sport, but more just the love and the ability to travel to the places where they'd like to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's sort of the consumer that follows our brand as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like these people are real, and that they really do have as authentic as it can be, an authentic relationship with your brand and with your products.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we try to tie ourselves to people that want to be with us,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
mm-hmm.
not just somebody that's there for the paycheck. We try to keep it as real as possible and really have our athletes. We don't have a huge roster of them, but the ones that we do have, we interact with on a regular basis and, you know, are really good ambassadors for the brand.
Right, right. So what's next for Sanuk? I mean, I don't want to ask you to reveal anything that you can't, but I'm just curious as to, you know, kind of going forward, what are the kinds of things that we can expect from the brand.
Well, I think what we're trying to do right now is create a global voice, you know, and develop an image for the brand that works everywhere. You know, when you're dealing with 64 different countries, sometimes that's a difficult thing to do.
Mm.
And in addition to being mostly known for our summer-type footwear, we're working on developing year-round collections of footwear, things that, for instance, Jeremy Jones could put on after he's done snowboarding in the wintertime, that still have the same feeling as the sandal construction of the shoes that we build today. But still have, you know, some funk to them. And that's what we're trying to do right now.
Right. Where do you get all of these ideas? I mean, it seems like you're just very prolific, and it's pretty impressive, the range of products and just kind of the innovation that comes out from your brand.
Well, you know, the ideas come constantly. I mean, I'm sitting in a hotel room right now looking at a curtain that could possibly become a shoe. The mentality of the design team that we have is, you know, they're very open, and when just in their everyday life, they see things that they translate to footwear, and that's just the way that we're programmed. But we also do inspiration trips. I know this year the design team's taking off for Tokyo, which is always a good place because the Japanese have such crazy style, and I don't know how they make it work, but, you know, when you can see plaids and stripes and, you know, whatever together, and it seems to be working, Japan is notorious for being able to pull that off, and it's a real inspiration to take your design team there to really open their minds to what's possible.
Right. Well, this has been great. Jeff, I knew this would be a really informative discussion. Thank you so much for giving us an insider's view on Sanuk and how you've built such a great brand. Really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Talk to you soon.
That's it for today. Thanks for listening to the Brand as Business Bites podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so your brain will always be filled with good stuff to chew on. For more information or to contact me directly, please visit my website at deniseleeyan.com. Take care and thanks again.